Hunched over a tiny cell phone screen, the leader of China's first business delegation to war-torn Syria becomes emotional. Qin Yong is watching video clips of a day trip the delegation took to bombed-out Homs. The head of the China Arab Exchange Association talks about the ruthlessness and sadness of war. But when it comes to business opportunities, he brims with optimism. Qin, who goes by his Arabic name Karim, is confident Chinese companies will be the proverbial early bird that gets the worm. He explains why with a Chinese proverb.
"富贵险中求,"
roughly translates as wealth can be discovered by taking risks. Qin says a year ago that spirit prompted a small Chinese building materials company to ask him to put together a trade mission. Syria was in its seventh year of conflict, and Qin claims his was the very first international business group to visit Syria. A 15-minute bike ride across Beijing from Qin's office is the embassy district. At the end of a quiet tree-lined street, a tall armed policeman in an olive-green uniform opens a heavy metal gate.
My name is Imad Mustafa. I'm the ambassador of Syria to the People's Republic of China.
Ambassador Imad Mustafa says the welcome mat is out for Chinese businesses, and he's issued hundreds of visas. Without mentioning the United States, which supports rebels opposed to his government, Mustafa pointedly adds,
"This is what we expect from China. Certain countries contributed towards the destruction of Syria. Other countries like China are determined to contribute towards the rebuilding of Syria."
Ambassador Mustafa says China represents more than cash. It also provides an alternative vision for development.
Syria does look to China as a model that can be emulated.
A model that is at odds with the democratic free market prescription promoted by the United States.
It has been a model of the state playing the role of an entrepreneur, helping certain sectors in the economy and the industry to develop, in which they also take care of the more vulnerable classes. And even the critics in the West have grudgingly admitted that the Chinese model is a successful model.
Though there is debate about exactly what the China model is and whether other societies can emulate it, there is broad consensus about what the model does not include. It does not require a specific form of government, and it is not about safeguarding human rights. Associate Professor Tang Xiaoyang at Tsinghua University is an expert on China's engagement with Africa. He says China's approach to development clashes with the so-called Washington Consensus, which promotes policies like privatizing state companies and reducing barriers to trade.
One major problem is this principle. It may be true in one society, but it cannot be simply replicated or transferred to other societies. So that's a major problem for the Washington Consensus. It may be true for US, for Europe, for West Europe, but then if you apply it to developing countries, you often find a lot of problems.
Tong says the West puts a bigger priority on building institutions that will govern responsibly. China puts a bigger priority on getting the economy up and running, no matter how. Commercial loans and infrastructure projects play an important role.
A conflict often is caused by poverty. And if we engage with them, we try to do some business, actually it's a focus on the development instead of conflict.
China's approach is akin to pulling on threads to unravel a piece of cloth. It doesn't matter where you start, just as long as the thread keeps unraveling. For example, Tong says, the starting point for commerce could be the tens of thousands of small traders China welcomes each year. Many are from war-torn countries in the Middle East and Africa. Lots of them head to the central city of Yiwu, which claims to be the world's largest wholesale market. Its gigantic malls host about 75,000 shops, offering up items like doorknobs, light switches, and even Arabic books for Islamic schools. Among the businessmen is longtime Iwu resident Mudathir Ali from Sudan. On this day, he's visiting a gigantic warehouse to check on goods for his customers.
The price is very cheap here.
Ali arrived in China 12 years ago as a fresh college graduate. At the time, conflict was raging in Darfur. After several years of trading, he launched a shipping company that sends goods to Sudan and around the world. Today, Ali's company employs over 70 Chinese. At a spacious headquarters furnished with replicas of Ming Dynasty Chinese furniture, his staff clearly enjoys Ali's relaxed style of management.
How much money you must give also profit?
China is good to people like him, he says. Unlike the United States, it's easy to get a visa.
Sudanese, they like China, you know, because they come easy, go easy, do business easy, all easy.
But he says while he's glad China gives a chance to Sudanese entrepreneurs like him, he questions the billions of dollars of loans China's funneled to the corrupt government of his country. Sudan turned to Beijing after Washington imposed economic sanctions some 20 years ago due to horrific human rights abuses and links with terrorism. Today, China is Sudan's leading economic partner, and it controls a big part of Sudan's oil industry. But the billions of dollars from China don't reach the neediest, Ali says. He pulls up a picture on his phone of this school in his village.
No, government don't care. Then you no have hospital, no have you see the school now.
There are no chairs in the bare classroom. Ali says there is no road to his village, and it has no water. Villagers are paying to drill their own well.
The government minister takes the money, don't know anything.
According to the anti-corruption NGO Transparency International, Sudan ranks among the world's five most corrupt nations. Sudan's president, Omar al-Bashir, is the first sitting president to be indicted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. Sudan is representative of the criticism China often faces for engaging with rogue regimes in return for natural resources. Venezuela is another case in point. It's currently in the midst of political turmoil and its worst economic crisis in modern times, despite China's loan of over $60 billion in return for oil. U.S. scholar Matthew Furchin runs a program on China and the developing world for the Carnegie Tsinghua Center in Beijing. He says China has compounded the nation's problems by adding to its already enormous debt.
China has claimed for a very long time that its engagement with Venezuela in terms of $60 plus billion in loans in return for oil sales underpins development. But Venezuela is in a free fall economically, politically, and socially. So China is up against really difficult challenges in some of these cases where it says it's providing a different model.
Millions of Venezuelans are struggling to survive among shortages of food and basic necessities. By some calculations, China is the world's second largest aid donor after the U.S. And Furchin's concerned it's not learning from the mistakes made either by the U.S. and other donors or by its own hand.
In the case of Venezuela, right now, China has its head in the sand, is unwilling to acknowledge that any problem exists. And if you don't acknowledge that a problem exists, you can't really respond to it.
Nevertheless, there are signs China is preparing to become more strategic with its development aid. This year, Beijing announced it's forming a new International Development Cooperation Agency.
Now, with the establishment of the International Cooperation Agency, Chinese foreign aid will be utilized for great power diplomacy.
That's Xie Yanmei, a former senior China analyst at the International Crisis Group.
So there will be agenda attached to that, and there will be more strategic using of Chinese foreign aid.
China may also edge further away from its long-standing policies of non-intervention and non-interference that stopped it from getting involved in local conflicts. China is sending more troops to United Nations peacekeeping missions in Africa, and last year it opened its first overseas military base in Djibouti on the Horn of Africa. FM Ubi, who has published widely on China, Africa, and security, hopes China will eventually play a more active role in conflict resolution.
You cannot just go do business as usual, make money, get resources without intervening and trying to make sure that these countries live in peace.
Ubi of the Nigerian Institute of International Affairs notes China often says there cannot be peace without development. But he says there also cannot be development without peace. And this, he says, is something China has yet to come to grips with. For America Abroad, this is Jocelyn Ford.